to episode 15 of the second season of My Dog Will Eat My Face. So, as I approach the end of my life, it's more often than not painful for me in the aspect that I feel as though I am no longer producing anything. You see, when I was working, I actually did love my job and my career. I did firmly believe in what I was doing, which was mainly to protect data, to protect personal information of about 300 million people. That's certainly a job I took very seriously because I built my career on that, and that's really what I did through over 2 decades of work. And through each and every day, I was faced with new challenges, new issues, new tasks, and a new effort and creativity to maintain individuals' information and to somehow be sure that it was only used for appropriate purposes. So, throughout those 20 odd years, I never had so long a span to where I've done so little. And although, well, I am happy to be alive, this is the greatest thing that made my life something worthwhile to me, both broadly and on a day-to-day basis. And while certainly accomplished as it was, losing it now makes things more difficult on a day-to-day basis. So, I'm not sure where my thoughts here will land me, but it's definitely an issue that I'm faced with and I have to face up to rather quickly, because it's only going to get worse and likely never better. So I've got to find a way to address this and do whatever needs to be done, if anything. Let me first expand a little bit with respect to the initial premise and my description of those last 20 odd years, and that I did have a feeling of purpose and why it's so important to me too in the first place. So for those years, again, several decades, and in varying degrees of, I suppose you might call it, career maturity, I was protecting the individual data of each and every American. Their name, their social security number, their date of birth, their family, their loved ones, their roommates, their home, their car, their criminal record, how they voted, everything. And sold it in varying degrees. Well, I didn't sell it. Worked for companies that provided it in varying degrees, usually to three-letter agencies and law enforcement or financial institutions. And ensuring that the data was only used for those particular purposes that they were expressly requested. So a person couldn't just say, give me everything you got. That just didn't make any sense. They would have to say, I want to know everyone's name and address that match my customer database. That's a good example of what they might say they want and what the company wants to do. And it'd be my role in the company that I was in, the department that I was in, to ensure that that data was only given to those particular credential customers who would qualify for it. And it was only used for the purpose that was expressively written and only for a purpose that was legal and in accordance to numerous agreements with vendors and also best practices in respects to people's privacy, which was an ever-growing theme and concern in that career, as you can well imagine with that sort of data. It obviously was very restrictive, and I took that seriously. I took it seriously because I knew it was a very important job to make sure that that information did not fall in the hands of people it shouldn't. And from my standpoint of my career, I could see firsthand people trying to get access to that information for probably nefarious reasons. Hackers would attack us almost daily. I would sometimes stay up till 4 a.m. actively helping and thwarting a hack attack that was trying to gain data access to our various databases. That would happen quite frequently, and to my knowledge, no hacker got through. And sometimes we had nefarious people try to come through the front door and mimic somebody who they weren't, trying to get access to the data they shouldn't have. And when we try to qualify them, we got some really creepy findings of where the actual requesters were. Russia and China were the two big players trying to collect information again on Americans. So I definitely had pride in what I did. I still do. I had a sense of purpose. And it was that sort of thing that keeps me going every day. Despite my heart condition and the difficulty I was facing with working day to day. So I've had that strong sense of purpose and sense of me having lived the appropriate life that I live. And I still hold that. But unfortunately, it's quickly fading. And I'm just only now recognizing that and seeing what I have forsaken and what is coming down the road for me if it continues. And for me, my whole life, having a sense of myself as doing something right has been popular for me every day. I would judge myself every day on my contribution to this world. And at the time, that is, for some 20-odd years, when I had an important role, I felt, in a role with no thanks, no one knew what I was doing to protect their personal information. One of my listeners right now, I'm certain there's someone out there, or actually a lot of people out there, whose personal information I specifically made sure did not fall into the wrong hands and was misused. That's an excellent feeling. That's a good thing. I'm glad I did that. And I did it with a strong sense of doing the right thing and a strong purpose. But as I face the end of my life, it's fleeting and fading away because obviously I'm not working anymore. I'm on disability, unfortunately. And have been for 2 years in hospice care, almost 3 years. Long term. Because apparently, congestive heart failure is a terrible way to die. It is slow and painful. It is apparently even longer if you're younger like me. If you're in your 80s or 90s, it's not so bad. But if you're just barely out of your 30s, just going to your 40s, it can be grueling because you're younger and otherwise healthier. And so the destruction that forthcomes is much more pronounced and harder to tolerate. I'm talking about the physical destruction here. I'm not talking about the mental part at all. So anyway, my point there is just a reason why I'm not working. I'm not looking for any sympathy for it. I just flatly state that CHF is a terrible way to die, and that's how I'm dying. That's my lot. It is what it is. I can shout words of mercy to an empty sky for as long as I want, but it'd be hopeless and baneful and empty. And for all that, I really don't care about the physical part, even though it is bad. The problem is that it takes so long, you just kind of sit there. You just kind of end up sitting there waiting to die as parts of you fail, new organ failing, new, you know, kidney issues, new issues all the time because your heart is so weak. And since that's failing, everything else starts to suffer and kind of go down next to it, or even before it. kidney failure, for example, which I've also entered into. And it's just from my weak heart, they said, because it's so weak, my kidneys can't take it anymore. So they're failing now. And again, I'm not looking for pities or sadness for anyone about this. Like I said, this is my lot and I'll carry it. My only problem is just the fact that I'm no longer doing anything for anyone else. I'm no longer doing anything. I'm just sitting here now waiting for the curtain to fall. And oh my God, the director is not calling me on this last scene. So that's why it's particularly bad. I've not lost entirely, but I have lost a significant amount of pride, and I've definitely lost a lot of my sense of identity over the time that I've been away from work. Because I was so dedicated to it, it became part of who I was. And it was so important. I knew that I could always carry with me pride that I did help protect people. But it fades once you can't do it anymore. It just slowly teeters away in the rearview mirror. At first, it's all you can see in the mirror. But as you move further away, it just fades back and back until you can barely even see where you once were and how you once felt about yourself and what got you through your life and what gave you strength. And there will come a point where I won't see it at all anymore in the rearview mirror. And I'll probably still be here. I'll be in a lot of pain and suffering as I slowly die. But more than likely, I'll still be here. So, I'm not sure what to do with that. As I realize this now, that it eventually it will just be too far back for me to still feel like I'm doing anything anymore. Or that I've even done anything to begin with. The feeling of getting it done will at some point be gone. So, what do I do? Do I slam on the brakes somehow? I wish I could. I don't have any brakes in this car. And I can't go back. I can't change what's happening. I can only change how I feel about it. I wish feelings had, in some sense, immortality. The feeling of having done a good thing used to be a part of my day-to-day activity. And now I have to really dig into the memory bank to remind myself of what I've done. And to even trigger that sense again that I did do it. If that makes sense. So I can't stop it from happening. It's just going to happen. And I won't have those feelings maybe anymore. But they will last forever. Everything we do lasts an eternity. I do believe that. Because once you've done it, it can't be undone. You can't unring a bell, as they say. And I definitely did those things. I did ring that bell. So, it does have that immortality. It will not ever go away. It was done. It's in the past now, where it's most secure. It's done. It can't be changed by heaven or earth. It's been done. And I was a part of that. I have been here, and no power can change that. No power on earth could change what I've done. That's why it's so important why we look at what we do day to day. We have to feel we don't have to feel anything, but I think that everything we do does last an eternity, is the bottom line. I really do, like I said, believe that. A lot of ancient writers and philosophers pretty much said the same thing. I think Aristotle said it. I am certain a lot of the Stoics have said it. For example, I'm certain Seneca said it, that everything we do lasts an eternity. So that's the only place where I can put my score now. And I just have to accept that. That is the final truth and deal of it. Just as having accomplished that and getting that done will last forever and is completely unmovable, so too is the fact that I am fading away and will no longer be able to rely on those accomplishments to feel like myself anymore. And I said that very carefully. I can't rely on those things. Those memories to be certain of who I am. I'm not sure how else I can do that. I think at this point I'm left with just reminding myself of what I've done, the good I've done, how permanent it is, despite how on permanent I am, even though I will cease to exist, what I've done will still last beyond me and will still be benefiting many people to this day and beyond me. And with that, I do have, I guess, some permanence. I mean, not as me, obviously. I'm not psychotic. My body will be gone. My mind will be gone. But what I did will always be there. And now it's been so central to my identity, I don't think they can separate it. At least, I was about to say how I see it, but I'd be willing to make that argument to about anyone, that the things that I did are completely inseparable from who I am as a person. And the very fact that I'm struggling now as it fades away makes me very thankful that I'm not permanent. But the things I did are. And that's just how it's gonna have to be. So I think the painful truth is that in addition to the physical pain, I have yet to endure the difficulty in recalling myself as a person, or at least a big portion of my identity, because it was so far ago. I know it's only been 3 years, but it really shows you how quickly things fade for us. Things that we do, even though they could be so good. And I guess it's just something I'm just going to have to carry with me. That is the fact that that which helped me through a lot of bad times and helped structure my sense of self is something I will no longer be able to rely upon. It's just going to have to be a memory. And I'm going to have to deal with the emotional fallout of losing, at least in part, how I identify myself. Perhaps it's good here to make this recording, because I'm stating here how I do feel about what I did, how it is inseparable from who I am, and how I did a good thing for a lot of people. Hell, I'd settle for doing a good thing for one person. Just one. That's all I would need. Just one person. To do a good deed for on a random day would get me through. So, I think I've just done the only thing I can do, which is make a record of how I feel, how I tied it to my identity, as I said, and how it's good. And whenever I doubt myself, I can go back and refer to that record, which is now also permanent and will never go away. Hopefully, that record will be my crutch, at least, to get me through these final days. It's amazing how us people can go so far to do a little good here and there, and yet how quickly we forget it, whether we did it or if it was done for. It does amaze me how quickly those memories fade and those sensations go away. But they're there. They are there. They did exist. You can't take that away. So I guess that's all I got for now. That sense of me and how I structure my identity exists, and as I perhaps lose that feeling over time of what did make my identity, at least a portion of it, I could always just refer back to that record, at least for me. That's really all I can do at this point. Go back to the record and remind myself, at least while I last. I don't need everyone else to remember what I did. I don't need anybody to remember what I did. I don't even need anybody to even know what I did. Except for me, I'm the only one. So I'm just going to make it my business to keep the most important recipient of that information, i.e. myself. Sorry, I should have said e.g. myself. Well informed. So I guess that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm. So, as I wrap up this podcast, I know my voice doesn't reflect it as much as it probably should, but I am happy by the fact that I've come to some sort of solution to my problem. That is the fading memory of knowing what I did. And it's failing to contribute to my self-identity anymore. The only solution is to remind myself of those things and to keep me informed until the very end. Because I'm the only important person who needs to know that. The answer was in my face. I used to tell people who worked for me this very same line. Over 20 years, I would say the most important person for you to know what you did is you. Because you're the one that's got to carry it with you. But I also told people that worked for me, and I also lived by this standard, worked by this standard, and that is to pretend that everything you do will tomorrow appear on the front page of the New York Times. And if you pretend that that's how you, it's going to be turned out, then you better behave accordingly. And so that's how I've lived my life, and that's how I've worked. So I'll carry this. I have a duty to keep myself, the most important person, informed of what I once did. And I have to remind myself of the most important person who needs to know that information until the very end. And I don't need anyone else to know whatsoever. So it's actually a profound thought. I'm glad that I came to this conclusion. I only need one person to know, and that's me. So, just with those few thoughts, I'll end this week's podcast. I lack the enthusiasm only because I'm quite tired. Health-wise, I'm quite exhausted, I must say. So, if I lack any luster in my voice, it's just from that physical fatigue. My mind still is firing away, it's just taking longer for my lungs and mouth to catch up. And communicate information externally. So, I am actually quite happy with being able to do that and coming to that conclusion. And with that, I just want to thank you all for listening to my incessant ramblings. That's almost, at this point, the musings of a madman. And I appreciate your time that you give me. I seriously do mean that. I really thank every listener for the time that you give to me to listen to me share my thoughts and feelings and memories while I still can. I do deeply thank all of you for that. And with that in mind, don't forget to select to follow the podcast and turn on notifications so you're notified of future podcasts. And with that, I can only say, ciao for now. One more final thought as I close this podcast. I promise, for reals this time. I just wonder what my dog thinks I'm doing as I record this podcast. He just sees me blabbing in the air or talking to a machine. He must think I'm a total madman. Maybe he's right.